Kagi Modaresi's second novel, The Pilgrim's Rules of Etiquette, is the story of an Iranian professor. He's a scholar of Iranian history and literature written in now dead languages. Because he lives in the wisdom of the past, many of the events of post-revolutionary Iran have not registered on him. Novelist Kagi Modaresi grew up in Tehran and came to America in the 50s to continue his medical studies. He now teaches at the University of Maryland School of Medicine and lives in Baltimore with his wife, the novelist Ann Tyler. I asked Modaresi why he left his mother and younger brother in Tehran and came to America.
When I finished my medical education in Iran, I went south to the south of Iran to do a research on some tribes and their ceremonial, ritualistic life. And there I found that I was being watched and interrogated by the Shah's Savak. And that left me with some horrifying feeling. I was mortified. That's strange to say that, but I thought I was completely undressed, stripped of all dignity I had. So I came back to Tehran, and I felt very, very depressed at that time. At that time, my brother said, "Why don't you come here and finish your specialty?" I wanted to be a psychiatrist and a psychoanalyst, so I came to this country.
I think many Americans know what they know about Iran through the Ayatollah Khomeini, through the hostage taking, through the Salman Rushdie affair.
Yes.
Do you feel that your culture is being misunderstood because of current events?
Oh, I'm glad that you ask this question, because that's the central issue that I love to talk about. But yes, indeed, that's true. I think I wrote the book with the hope that this is a small effort in presenting our culture in a way that is understandable by the Westerner Americans here. I hope the book shows that people there are ordinary people. They have certainly a very old culture, complicated, different, but the experience is human, as universally human as anything can be.
I think that now many of us feel we're seeing a side of Islam that is showing fundamentalist tyranny. You say when you were growing up that Islam gave you a sense of a stable world and a hopeful future.
Oh, definitely so, because as I was raised in a religious family, and I remember from very early period of my life, we were taught, and no, teaching is not a good word for it. We were exposed to a moral culture which wasn't that restrict. It was simple thing like being kind and considerate and be generous and not boastful, things like that. But more important, it was exposure to the culture through poetry. I still remember my mother reciting poetry. You know, Nizami is my favorite poet, classic Persian poet, whose verses still rings in my ear, and it sounded like running water to me. It still does. And telling stories in verse, which might be kind of strange for this culture, but in back home it was like fairy tale, and evoked vivid imagery. It's a beautiful magic of words.
You quote a lot of Persian verse in your book. Would you quote something, an excerpt of a poem that you feel has been very influential on you? One that you may or may not have included in your novel.
Okay, yes. This is from Sadi. I just say it in Persian because I think the rhyme and the rhythm is conveying meaning in itself, which is quite different than poetry in English. Although there is some validity for that in English too, but it's quite different. Now, this is Sa'di is describing how a caravan is going away, and with going away, he sees his soul is departing from his soul because his beloved is also going with that caravan. Well, it's so simple and sappy in a certain way, but it's not when you read it in Persian. And I want to quote that. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, please.
A caravan آهستران کارام جانم می رود وان دل که با خود داشتم با دل ستانم می رود در رفتن جان از بدن گویند هر نوعی سخن من با دو چشم خیشتن دیدم که جانم می رود.
That's really beautiful. What language did you write The Pilgrim's Rules of Etiquette in first?
Persian, Farsi.
Mm-hmm.
And then I translate that.
Do you find that you still think in Farsi, even though you've lived in America and you've spoken English for, well, I guess about 25 years?
Yes. Well, that's true. See, writing for me is a way of discovering a voice within me. And it is true that I can tell you what I want or what I think or how I go about my business in English, but when I want to write, I like to take off and not to be concerned about my grammar or pronunciation, and that comes from within my soul, I suppose, and so I cannot do it in any other way, and yet I really like very much to be able to do it in English, but that's beyond me. I cannot do it.
But you translate your books into English.
That's different. Because then I have every piece there, and then it is a matter of polishing. It's just like doing mosaic work, that you put different pieces of the stone together and you polish it and polish it and polish it. That's different. And of course, for that too, I have to have to find a voice. Almost like a rhythmic chanting so I can put the sentences together. But when I have the original Persian text and then I'm alone and I'm not afraid of making mistakes, and then I'll do that again and then again, and word processor is just a marvelous device.
Are you still practicing Muslim yourself?
No.
When did you stop?
Oh, way back when I was 15 years old.
So it's more of a cultural than a religious factor in your life?
Yes. I think it's part of my culture. That's exactly true.
Mm-hmm. Now, you teach at the University of Maryland. You're the director of the Center for Infant Study.
That's right.
At the University of Maryland School of Medicine. How does that part of your work relate to you as a novelist?
Oh, I think very much so. What I discovered through gradually in my professional life is that I'm very much interested in the languages. Not just the ordinary language, but the way people communicate. And, of course, infants are the fascinating individuals because they communicate so well, and yet we do not know how they communicate. you hold a baby right away, you know whether he's saying is unhappy or sad or angry or pleased or melt in your arm or something. So to learn that language, I think, is a very important part for me, especially for a person who is living in a culture which is different from his original culture. To learn the ways of life, you have to learn another language.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me.